Forecast After Dark for Men.
Welcome!
Wow.
To the Forecast After Dark.
But.
It's Cheeks Week.
Oh, it man. It is Cheeks Week. Boy.
Holly, why is it Cheeks Week?
Well, it was Cheeks Week in foreordained sense in that Baylor and Texas Tech are playing. It is Cheeks Week in that Iowa State, if you have not seen their uniforms, are going around just Winnie the Poohing it up and down the field. And it is Cheeks Week because today has been witness to a number of ass kickings. And the day may not be over yet. Looking at you, USC.
Yes, just live update here. I believe the score is Arizona 10, USC.
No, it's worse now.
It's worse now?
No, it's worse now. That was a minute ago. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's,
I need to refresh my screen.
Nothing now.
Yeah. When I posted the link on from the Fullcast account, I made sure to note, join before Arizona scores again. Fortunately, a lot of people did, but...
If you
think we don't speak things into existence, just look at last week when we called Missouri a complete team and said nice things about South Florida.
Yeah. Those were true at the time. However, given new data, I would like to revise my sentiments and judgments.
The decision desk has an update. USF, Cheeks.
Responding to commenter Joshua Fielding, I think it's perfectly appropriate to have Parents Week clash with watching Alex Grinch football because he's getting sunned.
Missouri's run defense. Decision desk update. Cheeks!
Just Steve Kornacki flying in on a vine, like, whew, drops in. Their ass! Their ass!
Hey, change the map! Buddy, Georgia Tech's got the ball back with 26 seconds
to
go.
Come on. Are we really going to do this?
We?
Do what?
We as a society. Listen.
Oh, no, it appears we really aren't. So that was a good bounce pass, though.
Okay.
No, we're not doing that. 100%. Also, those Miami uniforms are too sick to lose in. I'm sorry. The refs need to like stand in and be like, no, that good play doesn't count.
You know all those times we talked about opening a Christian laser tag arena, this is exactly what it's going to look like.
These Miami uniforms are like, wow, Miami, you worked so hard to find every collectible to unlock these uniforms on whatever fucked up PS5 game this is.
Yeah, like this is some sort
of... Oh, no!
Update, please.
What's that mean?
Georgia Tech, what?
14 seconds left. Georgia Tech completed a long pass. They're past the 50. 12 seconds to go. First and 10.
So you're saying it could still happen.
Okay.
You're only down by 3.
Before we get to the extreme amount of cheeks.
Let's just narrate this week. You know what, Ryan? Let's talk about what you said not to do before we started the show, which is if we wait until the end of the game, Georgia Tech will fuck this up. So we just start the show now.
I did say that. Let's talk about the Red River rivalry. The most fun you can have short of watching two neighbors who you don't really like shoot bottle rockets at one another.
Or shoot one another.
Or that.
Yeah. I think maybe we binged early this weekend because this was the best shit I'll watch. I don't know. It's maybe the best game I've seen all year. Really, like, it's fantastic. Come on. Immediate chaos.
No, I'm sorry. I'm being informed by the chat that Georgia Tech.
Yeah, the chat's going. That's lost his fucking mind.
For once, Spencer, you are being derailed by other people. This is what it feels like.
With what appears to be a second to go, Georgia Tech has thrown a 44-yard passing touchdown that will almost assuredly give them
another long pass.
Give them an upset victory over the previously perfect Miami Hurricanes.
Mind you, Georgia Tech lost badly to Bowling Green last week, and Bowling Green is very bad.
Bowling Green again?
Is it still Scott Loeffler?
I also love
Bowling Green this week got shut out by Miami of Ohio.
I'm being informed that Miami could have knelt that out.
Yeah, they could have, and instead they fumbled.
And yes, to the commenter who pointed out that Miami, Florida now has a transitive loss to Miami of Ohio, that is correct.
Mario, I've been defending you for so long, my man.
Even though Miami beat Miami.
I know. They have the most elusive of all achievements, which is the transitive loss and direct win to the same team.
So Miami has beaten themselves.
That's correct. Miami has human centipede in college football.
Miami has completed the infinite FAP.
They've won the war of self. Congratulations. You are now the master of all samurai.
And the only way to win the war of self is to lose the war of self.
Damn, bro, that's deep. Sorry, I had to get some Miami representation in here.
I'm sorry. We're just going to need a few minutes. Maybe we add music into this later while we all just sit here and stare at the screen, right?
Okay. All right. We can get back on track. We can do this.
I don't think we can, but we can try.
I don't feel bad at all.
It feels easy to get back on track.
History happens on the show.
If by on track we mean talking about Red River, all we do is say, so let's talk about Red River.
So Red River was...
Red River, Red River.
Whatever the last four plays of Georgia Tech Miami was.
It was that game River.
It started there and escalated.
Yes, that's where we started out. In Oklahoma, Texas. Texas scored off a blocked punt. I think Texas threw an interception on either its first or second play from scrimmage. Texas had first and goal from the Oklahoma one. Ran twice for nothing. Passed for a loss, I think, and then passed again for 1 yard and got absolutely stoned.
Yes. By the way, after they brought the big boys in, after they brought like Sweat, a 340-pound or 360-pound defensive tackle.
Yeah.
After they brought all the big dudes in and they still got nada. It was breathtaking.
It was not great.
It was sublime. I don't know what you're talking about. That was amazing.
It was not great if you were a Texas partisan, let me say.
Okay, yeah. Because the thing that made the difference in this game, there is a game-winning drive where Dylan Gabriel, in the span of a minute and 2 seconds, by the way, not even a minute and 2 seconds, because they gave Texas back 15 seconds. So, you know, about 47 seconds takes them all the way from the OU 25 straight to the Texas end zone for the game-winning score. That's cool. But the thing that absolutely beat the shit out of Texas was the OU defense.
Yes. There is a caveat to that.
A lot of yards,
but a couple of big plays that Oklahoma couldn't catch up to, but like very sturdy in the red zone and made Texas have to do a lot just to get 30 points,
and also three turnovers, tons of pressure on Quinn Ewers. Yep. He was harassed all day long, really only had like a couple of spells of looking super comfortable before they just go back to confusing him again.
Texas had to break out the fake punt in the first quarter.
Sacked him 5 times. If you wanted the Brent Venables, like the dazzling Brent Venables confusion machine, mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, that's cover 2 pre-snap. And then you're like, it's plaid afterwards. That they're there. Oklahoma is more than capable of that, which like no small achievement here. I know they allowed a lot of yards, but when was the last time you remember Oklahoma having this defense? Like I had to think back to like 2000s era Stoops teams, not even 2010s era, but like, yeah. 2000s era Stoops teams, the last time I can remember Oklahoma having a defense this capable and this malicious.
So like, yeah. It felt like both of these teams were getting just a ton of pass rush, and it felt like Oklahoma managed that much better than Texas did. Like Dylan Gabriel was very clearly under pressure and feeling it, but able to navigate, and they sort of just went with a take what they're giving us kind of attack, and it worked. They had, I don't even know how many scoring drives of however many plays there, cite that research. But like, it felt like Oklahoma, every drive was just like, okay, 8 yards, 9 yards, you know, like up and down the field all day long without a lot of, like, their long was 44, like not a lot of huge broken plays. But yeah, just careful and methodical. And like,
yeah, the big difference there, by the way, for Oklahoma was Dylan Gabriel's feet. It was also
that Texas turned the ball over three times and Oklahoma didn't turn over once. And if you count the like fourth down stop, like that's another turnover, frankly.
We like to say forced three turnovers, Ryan. Forced.
Right. You're right.
Time to go see, yes, USC doing the same thing.
Yes. And Oklahoma didn't throw those turnovers because of Dylan Gabriel's footwork there. This, tied all together.
Right. There you go. And his feet. Yeah. But Dylan Gabriel was the leading rusher. He had 113 yards. And every time they really needed another sort of, every time they needed a play, you know, they, like, one of their default plays on third down was QB draw.
Yeah.
It was QB draw because it was open every single time because Texas was really trying to pressure him. And one thing you can do when you're getting a lot of pressure is just run past it. Whee! There you go.
I just like that. So because both teams look capable and competent, that means this was an SEC game. None of that Big 12 crap, right? So I just like that both of these teams that are capable of, like, playing stiff defense up front and all that, that they're going to come show, like, LSU how to play football, right?
That's right. That's right.
Like, demonstrate what defense is to LSU. Yes, LSU, you won today. Finally, it's about time. But
by,
like,
flexing defensive muscle,
by only giving up 39 points, yeah,
and by getting a pick six, yeah, that's like the game breaker there is a pick six.
That is not the game breaker.
You don't think?
No. The game. I'm gonna go find it because I want to get this right. I saw maybe the weirdest fourth down decision I can remember in a long time near the end of this game. This ends up being Mizzou's second to last drive. So they get the ball with 3 minutes to play, down three. And within two plays, they are in LSU territory. They immediately just start moving the ball. They're at second and one. They throw an incomplete pass. They're at third and one on the LSU 41. Again, they only need a field goal at this point. There's a false start. Then, on third and six, Brady Cook is sacked and fumbles, and they lose 26 yards. So it's now fourth and 32 on their own 28. There is a minute to play, and importantly, Missouri has all three timeouts. Okay. What would you do in this situation? Fourth and 32 at your own 28.
Oh, I punt.
That's not what happened. If you weren't going to punt,
oh,
what
God,
would you call?
Run.
That's not what happened either.
Hmm.
They called a, like, hook and ladder that it didn't appear half the team even knew was going to happen.
Okay.
So they got the ball out, like,
just like a real fire truck.
Yes. They got like 20 yards on it, which was not 32, and gave LSU the ball back and held. But then, because they stopped LSU on three plays, but then they fucking punted it down to, like, the Mizzou three. And it was so baffling. Like, I didn't understand what the logic was of, like, let's try to pick up fourth and 32 instead of punt and hope we can get a stop.
Sure.
It was very strange. Very, very strange. Yeah, but yes, that is where I think it all fell apart personally.
By the way, they did that, and then Brady Cook threw a pick six.
The shortest pick six you've ever seen.
Yeah, from the Mizzou 5.
Yep.
It was Gherkin.
Yep.
Yes, a 17-yard pick six. So, yeah, Mizzou, we said you were good. The full cast welcomes you.
You know who's good is Jaden Daniels.
Yes, he is.
Jaden Daniels is fucking awesome.
Jaden Daniels had 259 yards passing, 3 TDs, no picks, 130 yards rushing on 15 carries.
He hopped over a blocker. One of his blockers ended up on the ground, and he just, like, leapt over him like Mario jumping over
a turtle
shell.
How does this man always end up in the air?
Yes, he just wants to be free. He wants to be a bird.
Yeah, he had one hit. He didn't even – he took pretty good care of himself today, and he still took a horrible hit. Like, he got into the end zone. It was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, scoring a touchdown. That's pretty cool. Jaden Daniels time. And then a Mizzou player just spears him in the lumbar. Like, just.
It probably cracked a rib or probably. Something.
Yeah.
And then he just did. And then he went off after that. Like, my God.
Yeah. So even when he's taking care of himself, apparently football just has it out for Jaden Daniels, which has not affected him one bit. Because here he is still putting up almost 400 yards of offense by himself for a team that badly needs it because they cannot defend a stiff breeze or 57 minutes worth
or
of
any other
football.
Breeze.
Yeah. Slow breezes, cool breezes, any of them. Yeah.
So now we sit in where we thought we all would, with Alabama at the top of the SEC West.
Yeah. I was thinking about how if you had just not watched any of September, you'd look up like, oh, everything's normal, right?
Yep.
Oh, so we're on pace for Bama, Georgia, and Ohio State, Michigan to be the most important games, and Oklahoma's going to win the Big 12. All of that sounds completely normal.
Right.
Yeah, this is where Rip Van Winkle wakes up with the long beard, looks around and goes, ah, it's all the same.
The one thing you can't get to is Clemson. That's the one thing you're like, wait, back up, hold on.
Maybe if you've been out for several years and you're course Florida State's the ACC's only good team.
I fell asleep other than 1993. So,
I have a question.
Yeah.
What happened at the end of the Bama game with Florida?
Which end?
I'm specifically wondering, was the fourth and one decision for Jimbo as dumb as it looked and as cowardly as it looked? Because I missed it. I saw Jalen Milroe make a couple of nice plays. I saw Bama pull ahead, and then I went to another game.
Jason, why don't you take a crack at this first?
So they were on the 40, 42, 44, somewhere around there.
I think so, but this is much earlier in the game.
It was fourth and one
at the Alabama 45 with 2:59 left in the third. So still pretty early. And at this point,
and there's much debate about what one means.
Yes. And the game was tied at this point.
Yeah. And after the game,
They're at the Alabama 45.
Yes. They're in plus territory.
Yeah. In a game that ends up being decided by less than a, you know, by 6 points, by less than a touchdown plus the extra point. Jimbo is asked about, you know, why they didn't go for it. And he says, well, if it had been like fourth and a half a yard, we would have. So apparently there is a number of inches that determines whether the obviously efficient move would be the obviously efficient move or not.
And analytics have gone too far. This is what happens when you take away Jimbo's papers.
All that documentation was for.
That's right. It was every possible down and distance and what to do on them. But he didn't have fourth and 2 feet, 6 inches. He couldn't remember that.
The weird thing of it is they have a play for fourth and 14 inches. It's fourth and 15. That's the trouble.
That's the problem. That's the
problem. But it's fourth and 16. Yeah, we got that. Fourth and 17. We're good. All these are different plays.
What stood out to me more about this game, and this is from I'm stealing this from listener Texan in NYC. Alabama had to do Auburn shit to win this game.
Ooh.
They're on their
heresy.
On their last possession, they have third and seven after they have run the ball twice, just to get Texas to start burning timeouts. But there's still like 2 minutes left. And Jalen Milroe throws a pass to Jace McClellan that McClellan has to like go down to get. And it appears that his knee should have been down, but that's not what they called on the field. And on replay, they made the right decision because he didn't catch the ball while his knee was down. He kind of like volleyball set it up to himself so he could stand up, whether intentionally or not, and then ran for a first down. And if it's not the most Auburn shit possible to like basically lose because you don't get the ball back because of that, like what could be? Everything about this game was like, if you took the names away and you were just like, what what scrappy SEC team is this that's winning this game with, like, hitting some big plays, but, like, not being efficient on the ground and not being that good on fourth down or on third down and needing some, like, special team shit to get in there and having a ton. At one point, I think Alabama had 3 false starts in a row.
Hell yes.
I'm not making that up. I think it was like false start, false start, false start on a third down.
Ryan, in terms of like just if you played blind box score, if you just looked at this,
yes,
you would guess this is like 2020's Mississippi State.
Yes.
They yep. threw 321 sure. yards and ran for 23.
Yep. Yep. You could talk me into this being maybe like certain South Carolina games.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
This could be an Ole Miss. Yeah.
This could be an Ole Miss. This, but
that sequence of penalties, too, is also the string that led off them losing to Tennessee last year.
Right.
Like, that's kind of when you had a sense they were fucked, and it was early, too.
But, like, they played kick-ass defense in the second half of this game.
Yeah, Dallas Turner is incredible.
Their defense has been great.
They got a safety, which ended up being pretty important in a 6-point game, especially because it forced Texas A&M had the most unfortunate string of events where they thought they had a touchdown, but Le'Veon Moss went out at the 2, just like barely, just like the tip of his toe sort of brushed the sideline. And as a result of taking a sack, throwing a completion in bounds, and then taking a timeout to kick a field goal because they were down 9, they lost like an entire minute of clock and a timeout to do all this shit just to kick a 20-yard field goal because they needed to get the ball back. And then Alabama did Auburn shit. It was – there's no way Nick Saban likes winning these games. There's just no way.
Oh, no. He absolutely loves it. Do you know how many coaching points he has? He has so many coaching points to make. He has an entire sheaf. He has a notebook full of coaching points.
There was a quote, I think, like, the first thing he said when he got to the postgame presser was like, well, there's good news and there's bad news. And it's like, oh, man, he has no happier space to be in.
Yeah, and, like...
And he got a haircut, too. He got a fresh cut and dye job for this game. We should have seen this coming.
That's true. I would not have guessed... it. Like, this is Jalen Milroe's rushing stat line, and obviously... this is going to include sacks. 8 carries for negative 31 yards. But he threw for 321. Like, just a weird game. And also Texas A&M is, I don't know.
This was a giant missed opportunity.
Oh, they outplayed Alabama so thoroughly in the first half. Like obviously we've seen A&M be competitive with Alabama in the recent past, in recent memory. But this was maybe the first time that they played a full half of football that I was like, oh, they are executing and planning. What they're doing is superior to what Alabama is doing.
Yeah. It almost looked like they looked up and thought like, oh, wait, we're not supposed to be the team leading Alabama.
Listen, this is what it sounds like, and it matches every other A&M game I've seen where they fritter away an advantage or a lead. It's the man with too many things in his hands. That's what they are. You talked about how,
except a fourth down play,
they had to burn a bunch of timeouts and to get into position for a field goal because they needed to preserve their other timeouts. Right?
Yeah,
they have to.
Yeah.
They need they get into situations where they can't have a ridiculous thing happen and then it happens and they can't recover because some disorganization prior to that left them with no margin. It's the man with too many files in his hand. They showed a picture of Jimbo Fisher earlier in the game.
I cannot believe
the broadcast crew did this because it's so disrespectful and yet accurate. They're like, here's Jimbo Fisher last year and here's Jimbo Fisher this year. And they show
Jimbo. This giant dumbass who couldn't understand what a backpack is.
All right. They just show him with his fool's armful of goods, of like files.
Here's
like
a man who can't manage his in-game inventory.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Oh, he's encumbered. Yeah.
It's one of those infomercials where the like Chris Mottram's wife used to do, where you can't peel an egg.
Yeah,
sure. And it's just Jimbo trying to stack a bunch of folders on top of one another, and they just keep slipping out.
So Jimbo, the thing about having a sidekick in a game like this is you can put your inventory in theirs. They're not actually carrying anything. So when you assign Bobby Petrino to be your sidekick on these missions, put your inventory.
Strap a file cabinet to that motherfucker and make him follow you around.
Load him up with all your garbage. Send him out into missions when you don't want to be the one to get fired upon. That's his job. Make Bobby Petrino your
Bobby Credenza.
Roll for motorcycling. Ah, a one.
Oops.
Make him your cannon fodder. Yeah, this is never going to be better. This is what you are. This is what Jimbo Fisher and are going. It's not. It's not. There's absolutely no. No.
That's the thing is,
I will not back off this. What data set do you have that you need to be large enough? 6 years?
No one is disputing. I'm laughing because the truth is so mean.
The truth is mean.
It's a burden in the Bobby Petrino voice.
You got 6 goddamn years of this. It's never coming together. Ever.
Yeah, especially because like Malachi Moore got knocked out of this game, I think in the first half. And you would think the answer would start being like, okay, it's time to like bomb. Like, Anaya Smith is awesome. And only got 4 catches in this game. Like, there is a weird thing, and I suspect this is probably true for a lot of Jimbo's tenure, where you're like, why are you not, why don't you do the thing that Ohio State eventually, that, you know, good teams eventually figure out to do. Last week, this was Georgia.
Call the touchdown play.
Like, if you have kick-ass skilled position players, find a way to get them the ball. And A&M does not consistently do that in ways that are just baffling.
Yeah, you're never, ever going to end up with a quarterback that you want. That hasn't happened in 6 years. And it only, by the way, he's only gotten less patient and frittered away more talent at quarterback, right? And then gets them injured because the quarterback has too much on his brain because he's got to call 12 protections and get the routes right for everybody and read A&M. Defense. Yeah, just, it fucking sucks.
Entire program is I got too much fucking shit on me.
But none of this matters. Do you know why? Because there's only one reason why Texas A&M lost this game. Ted Cruz showed up wearing Texas A&M shit. Once he's there, you're cooked, baby. It doesn't matter. He can wear any gear in the state of Texas. If Ted Cruz comes to your game, you're gonna fucking lose.
You have been visited by the Lost Fairy.
Nick made that happen, by the way. He called up Joe Manchin and he was like, hey, can you do me a favor? I need you to make sure that Ted's there. If you could just
like,
do that.
The incredible loser energy seeping off of he's like an X-Man and his power is fucks up your football team.
Do you know how hard it is this week to stand out as a leader among his a loser among his peer group?
And yeah.
Omega level loser.
Yeah. This was by the way, he was there and did a press conference with Ross Bjork, the AD for Texas A&M, about how they were going to get NIL legislation passed. And I was like, Ted Cruz?
Despite not having a Speaker of the House.
Yeah. Also, he's like, yeah, a solution will come from the Senate. And I'm like, not if Ted Cruz presents it. They all think he's anthrax.
Yeah, this is a thing that I'm not sure is known in the general public. So let's just underline it one more time. We would make fun of Ted Cruz regardless. Y'all have no idea how widely loathed Ted Cruz is among other Washington politicians.
They want him to die. Yeah, they hate
famously,
him.
Famously, wildly disliked among his peers. It's extremely funny when he says he's going to get things done because nobody will fucking work with him.
If you're hosting your child's birthday at Chuck E. Cheese and Ted Cruz shows up, just walk away. Just be like, the skee ball machine's gonna explode. We need to leave right now. And that's why Texas A&M lost.
Well, no, they lost because Jimbo Fisher's never gonna get it together. That's. But Ted didn't help. Ted.
I keep saying this, and it kind of it maybe sounds more pat than I mean it to say, I don't actually understand why Jimbo's even pretending to try. That money's guaranteed. I wouldn't do shit.
This is why I posit the Jimbot. The Jimbot, which is the Jimbo cyborg that he had made for him 4 years ago.
Did you fire him?
No, the Jimbot. Yeah, exactly. The Jimbot is just rolled out there. And he's like,
hey, man, you got to get the sex doll speaking faster. Nobody's going to buy it. You hear me?
Yeah. He's like,
oh. Like, there probably is an attendance requirement. Like, he probably does have to show up.
Oh, yeah. That is how you get fired for cause.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yep. Like, that's where Jimbot comes in.
Yeah. That's where Jimbot
comes in. And apparently other ways as well, based on what Ryan just said.
Yeah. Jimbo is like somewhere north of the Arctic Circle hunting caribou. And his guide is sitting there with a sat phone going, do you want an update from the game? And Jimbo's like, ah, hell no. No, no, no.
No.
I don't want to know about those losers.
I heard Ted Cruz is there. Fuck that guy. Ayahuasca.
So we sent Jimbo to Canada. We traded him for Ted Cruz. Somehow we got rid of Jimbo and lost the trade. Damn.
Yeah.
That's like when you cut off a mole and a bigger, uglier mole grows back in its place.
All right. So we've been going for about half an hour here. And I know there's some segment of the Notre Dame fans who listen to this show who think maybe they're not going to. Maybe they forgot.
Wait, I heard Notre Dame stomped on the bird. What happened next?
Don't stomp on the bird.
Bird stomped back.
Angry birds, a phrase of my own invention, has resulted.
What happened next was Louisville 33, Notre Dame 20.
Birds with human teeth.
Yeah.
Sam Hartman threw three picks. Notre Dame ran for 44 yards. Even if you take away Sam Hartman running for negative 12 on 10 attempts, five of six.
That part's normal.
Even if you take that away, it's like you ran for 56 yards. Notre Dame's offensive line between this game and the Duke game is hazardous. Is like an OSHA violation. It's not good.
And usually both of these programs are fond of OSHA violations.
Oh God.
But not in this.
Papa John's has passed most of its clearances, most of its health inspections.
Papa has been recently thrown clear of this program.
One does not simply walk into the slice.
Maybe Papa John's inside of Jimbot.
Oh, you're gonna have to get that machine clean.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, that's great. That's listen, that's it. That's not safe for work, even for like midnight standards, which is where we stand. What is also not safe for work? That offensive line generates five turnovers. Cinco turnovers for Notre Dame, despite the fact that these teams had similar production. Louisville has one of my favorite dynamics as a team, which is I'm like, y'all are all very enthusiastic and mean and trying real hard, and nothing seems to be working too great, but you're just going to thug it out. You're just going to – that's like they call plays, and you're like, that one didn't work at all, but you were trying real hard. And the next one kind of worked, and your quarterback is Jack Plummer, who – if you've watched Jack Plummer play, man, he's exactly that kind of quarterback. You're like, he's trying – real hard.
But like compare them to the A&M team we're just talking about. Jamari Thrash is the best receiver on Louisville. He caught 8 balls, and the most anybody else on the team had was 2. Like half of the completed passes went to their best receiver.
Yeah.
Like there is a simplicity. I agree that there is like not necessarily a lot of complexity or depth to the Louisville offense at this point in time. But there is a simplicity and a directness to it, and paired with the like very aggressive defense that they play, because Sam Hartman again had a terrible time. Like he put the interceptions were bad, but like overall I don't think he's the reason they lost the game. I don't think his decision making is what lost them the game.
Too handsome.
They're just like, yeah. Louisville was getting after it on defense, and it was awesome. Like from the first drive until well into the fourth quarter, they just like did not let up.
Louisville has that thing where they're just like, okay, we're gonna win. I don't really know how we're gonna get there, but it will happen as ugly as it needs to be. They did that versus NC State in a spectacularly ugly, like, ACC weeknight classic.
They did it against classic. Indiana. This is a team that barely beat Indiana.
Yeah. This is a team when they go, oh, man, this team, they just get it done. You go, well, that's cliche. Then you watch it and go, no, that's exactly what happened. They just, whatever happens, we'll coupon it. We will stack up points until they make a pile that is bigger than yours. I don't know how many that's going to be. We have no plan on how that's going to happen, but we'll get there.
Louisville also has that level of, like, ferocious crowd involvement that you don't always all that often see in the ACC or on Notre Dame's schedule.
That is a mean crowd.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know what I liked about the Louisville crowd, at least on television? A lot of mean kids. A lot of, like, 9-year-olds just, like, wiling out. You're like, oh, man, you're a problem at school, aren't you? I love you.
Mom and dad
kids who might have knives. Yeah.
Yeah. Mom and dad are like, hey, do you want your first beer tonight?
We need you. We need you to beat Notre Dame.
Listen, you got to understand, if you're having your first beer tonight, you're also having your third beer tonight, because that's how we party.
Because, hey, the Cards need us. Let's go.
Birds with teeth. Birds with teeth.
We need this kid loud. Kids with teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, this is basically, it felt like Louisville watched the Notre Dame Duke tape and was like, oh, okay, we'll just, like, finish the job.
Yeah, we'll just throw a bunch of guys at the offensive line and at least a couple will get through every time.
Yes, yes.
Whoa. Can someone read aloud the Mario Cristobal quote from the postgame that just appeared in the sidebar?
If this is the quote, Mario Cristobal said postgame, maybe we should have knelt it.
So we're trusting the... Okay.
Maybe... We should have knelt it.
It's possible this was said.
Oh, no, it's Mario. I totally believe it. He's probably recruiting right now. Like, he was probably recruiting while they were making the decision. Like, Mario, in the headset. Like, we need you to go. And he's like, hold on, I'm texting a 17-year-old tight end. 1 second. Just run the ball. Who fucking cares? They got to recruit.
God, they got to play UNC next week. Jesus Christ. UNC absolutely, to get back to the butt week theme, Syracuse has no butt left.
No,
UNC,
they ran out of butt.
Cut it to shreds.
Yeah, we have an ass deficiency in Syracuse, New York.
Down to the bone.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit's concave now. God
hey,
damn.
You know who I appreciate for immediately phoning in the fuck out of their game today? Kentucky. I love it. Y'all absolutely trashed Florida last week. You show up at Georgia and you're like, victory lap!
I hope you had a nice weekend in Athens.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all.
A lovely weekend.
And I also appreciate that you signaled right away that we did not have to watch this game.
Yeah. It's nice that this was like, all right, here comes the best test on Georgia's schedule, and by the end of the first quarter, you were like, oh boy, all right, well, we're going to have to wait a little bit.
At least we know Georgia participates when there is a test. Like, you know, like for the first few weeks, it does this team any good at all? And I was like, oh, okay. So once the games that matter start, they will be good. Got it.
Minnesota, butt gone. Absolutely kicked to hell.
Jug butt.
Yeah.
Like,
roll
the butt.
Yeah, got you some Malden's jam butt. Yeah, that's what you got.
More like rue the butt.
This was Michigan 52, Minnesota 10. I mentioned the score not as information, because you could look that up. I mentioned it as a point of comparison because
some advanced metrics about this game, didn't we?
52 points and 56 plays. That's the Michigan offense against Minnesota.
Does that include kneel downs?
Ryan, that does include kneel downs. That's cool. Amazing.
Seems cool. Good.
Cool. Also, JJ McCarthy, I love it. 4 carries, 2 TDs. Efficiency, bitch.
Looking at Minnesota over the course of the year, this is a wildly non-competitive team. Lost to Northwestern, got killed by UNC.
You can barely stop the loss to Northwestern.
Yeah, like.
Like, I don't even know why we watched after that.
Like, this is just not the Big Ten West as a whole. Man, y'all are confusing bundle. I will say this. This was, I think, a Friday night game. Nebraska's, I don't have like a lot of memories of the true like black shirt Nebraska defenses. Like, this is not a thing that I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this, that, or the other. But the way Nebraska's offense continued to try to keep Illinois in this stupid football game with fumbles and missed field goals and interception and just like constant garbage. And Nebraska on defense just constantly turned all of it away and just processed Illinois' offense into reconstituted butt. I was actually impressed. I was actually like, okay, now I have some sense of what that might look like.
This is the nicest thing we've said about Nebraska in maybe literally the entire decade of this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, since they fired
Pelini, at least.
Hey, listen, Heinrich Harburg was cooking. I mean, the kitchen closed, and the kitchen closed quickly. But for a hot second in that second quarter.
Cooking. Yeah.
Yeah, he was cooking.
Also, Illinois is just, man.
It's bleak.
All mana was tapped last season. There's nothing left in the tank, right?
All of those guys are at Purdue now. Right. They all just left. Like,
but Purdue was bad too. Let's talk about
the tweet. They went to West Lafayette for the nightlife.
Let's talk about the tweet we got about Iowa. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Can I go dig it up here? Here it is. This is from Michael. Iowa wide receivers had 0 receiving yards against Purdue.
Fuck yeah.
They punted 6 times and completed 6 passes all game. They somehow won 20-14, and it really could have been 31-0.
Yeah. You know, this surpasses football. This is a kink. It transcends football to be this deliberately bad.
It's technically,
but they're 5. Iowa's 5-1.
Yeah.
They are, let's see, 21.8 points per game at this point.
It's not just that they're 21.8. It's that, like, so many of these games are right. They've scored 24, 20, 26, and 20. There's a 41 and a 0 that sort of, oh, what do you know?
Balance
each other out.
They average
out right to fucking 20. Like, it's the ability for there to be largely no swing one way or the other.
When they picked 325, they knew what they were doing to maximize drama. God, that's how you draw eyeballs to Iowa, Nebraska, and Iowa, LSU in whatever Tampa Bowl.
And they're not firing him. It doesn't matter if they come up 70 points short of that.
You don't think they're firing Brian Ferentz?
No. What makes you think anybody learns a lesson or gets punished or has to actually serve up?
You're right. Here's
the
what
consequences
will
of their actions.
Here's
no.
What will happen is they'll be like, well, Brian, per the terms of your contract, you know, we have to let you go. And then Kirk will be like,
but
here is your new contract with a raise, my son.
Correct.
The thing is,
what is going to happen.
The thing is, for several years, he's gathered new additional titles. So he probably has like 7, you know, it's like he's fucking Crusader Kings at this point. He's going to lose like 9 of his realms, but he'll still be the offensive coordinator.
That or he'll go be the QB coach at A&M. So
Iowa.
It's like all the dogs aren't allowed on the bed, but they're currently on the bed. Like, they're not allowed, but they're up here.
You have the duchy of offensive line. That's what he's going to be left with. Yeah. But yeah, there's no way. Like I love that everyone thinks this is going to happen. Like, oh, they signed a contract. What? Wait, he thinks he owns that program, right?
Yeah,
like,
does.
If they fire him, if they
show
fire
me
him,
evidence that he doesn't.
I know. If they fire him, he's going to break off his keys and the locks.
Brian, I have great news. We've legally changed your name to Daryl Ferentz. Therefore, Brian Ferentz is fired, but you're not him.
That's great because it creates a backup other brother, Daryl Ferentz, that they can use when this one runs out.
I would also like to offer, I know that I think we've been kind of on the fence about Colorado this year, But tonight, Colorado did something that I think definitively proves they are a good Pac-12 team.
And I agree, and I want to see if we have the same reason.
They went to Arizona State, and they fucked around and barely won. And that is the thing good Pac-12 teams do. Like, this is not specific to them in any way, shape, or form. USC did this a couple weeks ago. You could tell me Oregon or Washington is going to do it at some point, and I'd have, like, this is a time... As the conference dissolves and as these teams start going their separate ways, I am glad that we can honor the tradition of looking like absolute ass at Arizona State. And Holly, you have the other half of this.
Yeah, they made sure to do it on the Pac-12 network so no one saw. I'm not even making fun. We tried to watch this game today and, of course, could not.
We were buffed.
I do like how every week of Colorado's season is sort of an introduction for new college football fans to, you know, to experience this or that different facet of the sport. And this time around is like the Pac-12, what? Right? Like we sort of take it for granted that, like, yeah, you know, half their games are unwatchable. It is what it is.
So part of the reason why this conference isn't going to exist anymore.
Right. Yeah. So then, you know, when these new fans are like, oh, so does this have anything to do with, like, why this conference is going away? Yes, you're starting to get it.
Yes, right? If you want to watch this game, you have to have a PlayStation Vita. I know they don't make those anymore, but...
So the story starts in 1850, yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
And that's why you're
the other one was,
refrigerator.
Like you say, like, how many legit Pac-12 teams have lost in the state of Arizona? So,
yes.
Like,
yes.
There is... Whatever the spread was in this game, it doesn't. It's fake.
Nope.
It's everything is fake in this. It's like time zones, right? Don't they have their own time zone or some shit? Yeah.
I think they do the, like, we're not doing daylight savings because we tell the sun what to do.
Because we'll shoot the fucking sun.
In Arizona, yeah. It's specific cities, isn't it? Like Phoenix.
Yeah, that's right.
It's some like Goldwater Republican like commie plot thing. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
I'll get up when I want to get up. You don't take my hours from me.
All numbers are fake there. If you win and you're able to leave, you've done something great.
That's right.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
By the way, update from live scoring. It is at halftime.
Speaking of
Arizona 17, USC 14.
See, look what good Pac-12 teams do.
That's right. And also, except Georgia Tech. I keep looking at this Georgia Tech score and I'm like, how did this happen?
You said it. We started the show.
The USC game is in USC, so they don't have an excuse. They suck. Unlike Colorado. Colorado's better than USC.
Oh, boy.
They just got to Arizona and they're like, so parched.
So flat.
So dehydrated.
I did not watch much of the second half of this because we were getting ready to start the show. And it looks like it changed a lot in the second half, although the result was still the same. Wyoming was bodying Fresno State for the first half of that game. Like, they looked great. And the final was 24-19. Fresno State scored 12 in the second half, and Wyoming didn't get on the board again. But, like, for one half, they looked awesome. They were blocking well. They were playing kick-ass defense. Fresno State is a very good team. Wyoming has not been great in this series the last few years. Yeah, rank Wyoming. I think like Fresno State's going to drop out of the rankings, but like Wyoming should just take that spot.
I mean, their only loss was a three of four quarters competitive against Texas.
Yes, and they beat Texas Tech, one of like two Texas teams to win this weekend.
Transitive butt bowl victory.
That's right.
So like this is a tangent, but like when people talk about, you know, playoff expansion is going to devalue the regular season or whatever, blah blah blah. That's which, you know, that's fine. That's an opinion some people have. I think about the upcoming like Wyoming, you know, Mountain West title game next year. That'll be for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Like how are we devaluing anything when an entire conference has a you know, their conference title game is virtually a, what would that be, before a quarterfinal? I don't know, whatever that word is.
I don't know if there's, yeah.
Semifinal.
Sure. Demi-final. Yeah.
Let's just call it regional.
There you go.
The wide ranging definition of region.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, in that game, Wyoming, they do tend to put it in park when they get even a sort of modest lead.
They got a little too close to the.
They did. They let them get a little too close to the bumper once they put it in cruise control, is what this looks like.
Wait. That's a metaphor, man.
A little too close to the bumper, baby.
Someone in the comments recommends wild card for that. So, yes, thank you. The Mountain West Championship is a wild card game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a baseball term.
They really took their foot off the gas once they put it in park on the freeway.
Yes. How the Braves do tonight, by the way?
Well, the best offense.
Go Phillies!
The best offense in the history of baseball did not score any points.
Sleeper cell. I asked that because I already knew the answer.
That's right. I did not hear fireworks at my house, so I know.
Go Phillies! Did I watch the game? No. Do I believe in Philadelphia supremacy? Absolutely.
That's a combination of that and like, wow, some Atlanta shit happens.
Fall in a river, blooper.
Yeah, my favorite thing were people openly like wishing for the death of Blooper.
I felt really bad for starring all these tweets of everybody calling Blooper a big dopey bitch after the game, but fair's fair.
Yeah, my favorite thing I saw from that game, by the way, was longtime Philly legend and blogger Michoni, who I guess was at the game. He had just the menu from one of the places you can eat in the stadium, and he took a picture of just the sides, and he goes, "These are the worst sides I've ever seen." I mean, they're just like
the description.
Like, no, it's just like standard shit. He's just like, "This is the worst shit I've ever seen."
Fries, fuck that.
Yeah, yeah, it's like fries, it's like trash. It's like coleslaw, trash.
Hey, when you win 3-0, you can say whatever you want.
That's right. That's right. Go Phils.
Talk your condiment shit.
How many more of these games are there?
Kansas just ran the hell out of UCF.
Kick
ass. I don't think I've forgotten any. None of the new members of the Big 12 have beaten a legacy member of the Big 12 at this point, right? I think the only one of these games that one of them has won is BYU beat Cincy.
Yeah, I would have to look.
And next week, Houston gets to play, and I'm going to say this because I have trouble believing it. Second place in the Big 12, West Virginia.
That's right. That's right. 2-0.
Off this week, baby.
Yeah, these standings are crazy. Like
relaxing.
This really looks like the conference is going to take a little bit of a downgrade next year when two of the top three teams in the standings leave, and the three teams at the bottom of the standings, are fully ingratiated.
The other than Oklahoma and Texas, here's who's atop the Big 12 right now in order. Well, I don't know about tiebreakers. I don't think any of these teams have played. West Virginia, Kansas, Iowa State, and Texas Tech.
Normal.
Like, Oklahoma State TCU was one of the roughest games I've seen in a while. Oklahoma State finally got a win there.
When you said all those teams after West Virginia, it didn't sound real good.
It is interesting. I will give it that. But like, TCU had a very bad night. Quarterback got injured. Baylor's having a I think Baylor is lucky that TCU was so publicly embarrassed by Colorado in like this Huseley watch game, because Baylor's having a terrible year.
A confusing year.
Yeah.
Every time I watch them, something else is wrong. Like, they fix one thing, and then two other things go wrong. Like, the passing game comes along. They can't run the ball further than 3 feet at a time.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. The defense is, eh?
They've had good quarters. They've had totally disastrous quarters. Yes,
fits and starts. Yes.
Special teams will be fine. And then they'll go haywire. Like, they have
sometimes they're a penalty disaster. Sometimes they'll play a very clean. Yeah.
I've arrived at a description of this phenomenon, Ryan. Gremlins. They have gremlins. Baylor has football gremlins. They're over here. They're over there. They're never in one place all the time.
Maryland didn't beat Ohio State. I suppose we should talk
not
about
quite.
That in passing.
Not quite. This was the weekly, like, oh, might be something. I'm going to go outside for an hour and come back. And oh.
We had 5 weeks of September Maryland, and that was more than we deserved.
Ohio State won by 20 after some early drama.
Yeah, there was a bit of coaching mismanagement, coaching malpractice, punt cowardice in this game early on, where Maryland probably should have taken some chances. And if you didn't see the end of the first half, which I did, they were going to line up for a field goal at the end and ran out of time. Just ran out of time, straight up. And then
we all get busy sometimes.
They were very busy, Ryan. They ran out of time. They were busily wasting the end of that half, thinking they had a timeout that they did not have, and thus missed points at the end of the half. And that sort of, I guess, set the tone for the rest of it, because at that point, Ohio State just started again pressing the touchdown button. Send a pass to Marvin Harrison. Look, a touchdown. Wow.
Ole Miss held Arkansas to 20 points. That's not good.
Defensive improvement, sure.
Yeah.
That's good for them. I don't know what they're doing with KJ. I do not know what the Dan Enos offense is supposed to be, because they took our
this
big,
is,
beautiful, if, rambling, like, you know, bull of a quarterback, and they've reined him in, Ryan. They've tried to make him a pocket passer.
What the Arkansas Razorbacks are this season is the Los Angeles Angels.
Damn.
And it's just like, this would be the part of the season where if they could, Arkansas would just be like, I don't know, let's trade KJ Jefferson for fucking farm system or whatever. Or let's not. And let's miss the playoffs by 15 games or whatever.
Let's bring in some guys and then trade all of them.
Let's make a playoff push. Oh God.
The Angels
wasn't very effective.
The Angels are the only baseball team I think we could talk about on this show. Oh, we could talk about the Mets.
Yeah, which are just the East Coast Angels. So.
Yeah, the Mets suck.
The Mets are just the on TV too much cocaine Angels. So.
The Mets are the, like, a little bit of Angels every year, whereas the Angels are just all the Angels all at once.
Right, sure. Yeah. I don't know. I know we already did this on the regular show. I don't think Arkansas is going to make a bowl game, or if they do, it's going to be a weird, ugly path there.
I felt decent about their chances in this one, but this was a maker breaker. Like,
yeah. It's not fun. I'm sorry. That's a bummer. I shouldn't have brought it up.
It's not. And honestly, like, that's Arkansas, and they do things a certain way. And by that, I mean, they really love on you and they think it's great when you stabilize the football program. And then after one or two bad years, they put you in a sack.
Here come the FOIA requests.
Here come the goblins.
Well, there really was Arkansas FOIA news this week.
Yes, there was.
Always a horrible sign.
Don't be checking your email. Don't do that.
Arkansas. Arkansas coaching staff.
You've been there before. You know what these people are like.
Do not touch any devices.
Dude, I would switch my SIM card out and I wouldn't have the same cell phone for longer than 3 days at a time if I were
Arkansas coach. Throw away my phone if I coach football for the
University of Arkansas. You know all that shit that Jason Bourne has to do in movies, right? Where they're like, throw your phone away. Wrap this aluminum foil around your head so the signals can't get in.
Now, Sam Pittman, I'm going to shoot you, and you're going to have to swim out of a cold river.
Yeah, that's the goblins of the
Ozarks. The only way to stay safe is Arkansas head coach.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because you wrap foil around yourself in Arkansas, and it's, oh, now you're ready to smoke.
Ooh, you're tasty.
That'll retain your moisture just fine.
Don't make yourself into a brisket, okay? That's what we're saying. Take precautions, because they come for you, and they come for you quick.
Well, do you want to be doxed, or do you want to be smoked? Which will it be, coach? Elsewhere in sad news, my Cougs lost 4-1 Washington State.
Oh,
UCLA's defense is very good.
UCLA awesome. Entered with number one in the country yards per play defense, which is just a baffling stat.
If they can maintain this, and Dante Moore can keep getting better, their true freshman quarterback, who's like the best recruit in UCLA history, they can be interesting down the stretch. They're
getting better. Yeah.
They're not ranked, but they're 4-1, and they lost to a very, very unpleasant Utah team.
They lost at Utah by a touchdown.
Yes, and yeah. they get Oregon State, who's currently in a very tight game with Cal, last I checked.
Yes.
Yeah, they're leading by 3 in late in the third quarter. They get Stanford. They have to play Colorado, but at least we know they play defense, so like something can happen. Like, there is a path here where UCLA, amongst all the Oregon, like, they don't play Oregon. They don't play Washington. UCLA could definitely sneak their way into the Pac-12 championship game.
Washington State had 12 yards rushing on the day. 12.
And I think Cam Ward was like 19 of 40 passing or something.
19 of 39, yeah.
And they had like 4 or 5 turnovers. It was rough.
Yeah, they beat their ass.
Typical Chip Kelly defense.
Typical.
That's right.
Typical Philadelphia Eagles classic defense.
Okay. Yeah, baby.
Okay, I get it now.
And again, because we can't say it enough, Miami lost to Georgia Tech because they didn't take a knee and then they gave up a 40 fucking yard touchdown. Like, how did this happen?
I kind of like it. That sounds pretty badass, though, right? Like, we will never kneel, right? Miami, they thought they were playing like 300.
They're like, listen.
They were.
I've been watching a lot of the Pitch Black movies, and I think they're fucking
crazy. Oh, my God. They lost to the team with Ponce de Leon running through the middle of town.
This is Miami logic, though. They're like, yeah, kneeling's for bitches. I ain't doing that. Yeah,
Canes don't kneel.
Yeah, Canes don't kneel.
Lions don't kneel. What?
Lions,
what are you talking about?
Lions don't kneel before bees.
So if you listen to the Huberman podcast,
you ever heard bees knees?
Yeah. A tiger doesn't concern itself with the opinion of bees.
Opinion of bees.
Tigers can't change their stripes, unlike bees, not to be trusted.
Hurricanes don't have knees; they have eyes, and I'm watching you face to face because I'm not kneeling.
I'm watching you run 44 yards for the game-winning touchdown, but I'm not kneeling, am I? I'm up.
I got a good view of the back of your jersey as you flee freely into the end zone.
Because you turned your back on me, that makes you the coward.
Get back here, you coward! Get back here and Well, we won't kneel. We'll just stand here like men.
All part of the longstanding plot to erode Florida State's strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that plot as well.
It's going great.
LSU is also contributing.
Clemson 17, Wake Forest 12. I'm not clicking on this box score. I don't want to know how this happened.
Nope. I got to be honest. If I see 12, I'm not clicking.
I'm going in.
I know what's in there. It's bad.
I'm seeing numbers like 15 of 25.
Clemson,
2.6 yards per rush.
You should not be winning by scores that predate the existence of the United States of America.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely not. No.
Because Jesus wasn't born yet.
Mm-hmm. 17, or the score is 12-17.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, that's crap. You don't need to look at it. That's Dave Clawson in his freaky low scoring mode, not his freaky high scoring mode. Okay,
that's right. I forgot about that.
No, remember before they were the like freewheeling 39-37 team of the ACC. The, like,
yeah,
they spent this like is 2 years being the like, we want this game to be as slow and excruciating as possible.
Yeah,
you want to come over and score 9 points and eat a bunch of ham.
Yeah,
this is a good rebrand.
You're forced to ask if Dave Clawson parties.
Somebody in my Twitter mentions was like, yeah, man, I saw him at a Widespread show and his eyes were like saucers. I'm like, this is awesome. That's what I want.
He won't do whippets and kick field goals poorly.
Where was this guy when he was coordinating for us? This is all I want.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was very long ago.
I'm mad about it.
Hey, UConn won.
UConn did win.
UConn's off the side.
UConn won.
Oh, we already talked about that.
It's
a long show.
It's a lot
about listening. UConn and you forget you've already talked about UConn.
It's
and...
Red River.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. Yes, NC State beat Marshall. Somebody in the comments pointed that out. That was a pretty fun and dicey game at points. I'm still not convinced NC State is going to do much this season. But
this
season? They're 4-2, and yeah, it's fine. Like, I don't know. Dave Doran's eternal at this point?
Well, I mean, they're on pace for 8-4, so.
Yeah, you're right.
So, like,
we have to return to Wolfpack equilibrium.
Like, what more do you want from NC State other than 8-4? Yeah.
This is the territory. If you can see, Ryan, I'm making a diagram here. That diagram shows the range of the wolf. It's 8 miles in this direction.
It's not far.
And 4 miles in this direction.
It's 100 yards.
Yes.
Man, is that the wolf that's supposed to be inside me?
Is that inside you, there are two wolves. One is very sleepy. He's the four lost wolf.
Inside you, there are two wolves. Six and six.
I said, we have one more story to tell from tonight. You said wolves, and that made me think of dogs. Spencer, will you tell the hot dog story?
So at Iowa, Herc, the Hawkeye, right?
Herky Hawkeye, yeah.
Yeah, Herky Hawkeye was testing out a new hot dog gun because, you know, they have a hot dog gun that shoots fully wrapped hot dogs into the stands, which is the most Midwestern shit that I've ever
wrapped? Did we get it confirmed that they were wrapped?
Yeah. The hot dog gun shoots a wrapped hot dog, right, in the foil, and it shoots it in the stands. I've seen these before. It is the most Midwestern thing because you can hear somebody going, "Hey, Jan, they got a hot dog gun. It's freaking great. They just put it in there, and it goes, that fucker goes like 30 rows."
Wait, but if they were wrapped, how did what happened next happen?
Beamed me right in the goddamn forehead.
Kids love it.
I got hit in my wiener kids with a wiener, it. Jam.
Kids love it is back.
This feels a lot like my normal Saturday night, only I had to put on a jacket.
I had to tell this jag off, hey, another hot dog because the hot dog gun's broken.
Spencer does my favorite Midwesterner of anyone because most people, 99% of people when they impersonate a Midwesterner, they go like Fargo? Super, super nice.
Yeah.
Spencer has mean Midwesterner.
Spencer is basically doing a Bears fan for the last 15 years.
Spencer's Midwesterner has his own bar in his basement of his own house that he has been 86'd from.
Hey, right. Jay, Justin Fields is a locker room cancer.
No, I do like drinking Midwesterner because these are all the guys that
right, Bears fan.
Yeah, these are all the guys that my middle school friends' dads were because they all came down to work at the like auto plants, right? So you go over to their house and they'd have this like kick-ass Naugahyde couch.
Half of Nashville, you're right.
Right, they would have this like Ouroboros Naugahyde couch that had like 23 Naugahyde seats, and then have the picture of Ditka or the picture of like Don Mikowski, right, on the wall. And you go to their house and they would come home and they would put on slippers, immediately grab a beer and be like, "Fuck! Hey, kid, what's going on?
Mike Tom Zach's a piece of shit, kid."
"Hey, good to see you. Good to see you. Hey, have you lost weight? Go, oh, you're looking good. Did you gain weight? Oh, you look great. Fuck it.
Have a hot dog.
You know who it is? It's the guy on the bear in the kid's birthday party episode who comes out the door and is like, "I thought you killed yourself." And he's like, "No, that was my brother." And the guy just keeps walking.
Like people who have their news is like, "Hey, you remember Don?" Yeah. Who's yeah, he's dead? Fucking dead. Anyway, like that's anyway.
So yeah, tell us none of that is the story.
So about the hot dog gun, the pinnacle of Big Ten academic consortiums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stop throwing hot dogs at my wife.
So the hot dog gun malfunctioned. So, you know, the people, of course, still craved hot dogs and they still had a bunch of cooked hot dogs to hand out. So what they did was they just started throwing hot dogs into the stands willy-nilly without putting them in the bags. So this led to the separation.
without putting them in the wrappers.
Yeah.
Yes, mid-flight separation of hot dog bun and hot dog.
Like rocket boosters falling away.
So it's just people throwing, you know, like disassembled hot dogs.
Throwing meat and bread.
There's people catching and eating just barehanded hot dog buns.
What a metaphor for like hot dog
juice. So it's not just the football team that's having trouble with the passing game, okay?
That's like a metaphor for like half the offenses in the Big Ten at this point. So
just throw it out there.
Renegade sad commenter for glizzy grenades.
I love y'all. Absolutely love y'all. Oh my god.
You can't win if you don't throw the hot dog.
If you
hot dog rocket.
If you're
when you throw the hot dog, there's three bad things that can happen.
If you're some Midwestern uncle or dad who like drinks a little too much and cusses in front of kids but is very nice about it, I fucking love you. Oh my god.
Unscheduled disassembly hot dogs.
They're just flying through the fucking air.
It's great. This is like that dream I had, Jam. The hot dog rain dream.
Remember that? Phil was in that dream. Yeah, Phil. Remember him? Yeah, he's dead.
And she does remember it. Oh, that's right. You were so excited about that dream.
You woke up crying. You were so happy.
You woke up screaming.
Anyway, we're fishing. We're fishing. And the guy from New York, he gets out the blow. And I'm like, oh, buddy.
Oh, buddy.
It's been a while for that stuff. But, you know, I'm still in the saddle. So giddy up.
What do you say we put it on a couple of hot dogs?
Oh, fucking love those guys. Like, with all my heart. So they were having fun at Iowa. Just know that, like, you know, we laugh at Iowa, man. That's a party.
You're 5-1. You know what? Fuck us. They have more wins than so many teams.
Yeah.
Now, be careful what we wish for, because last week we pointed out that Notre Dame was on a 30-game heater versus ACC teams, and then what happened?
Iowa has a better record than Notre Dame right now.
As God intended.
As God clearly intended. Notre Dame, you lost to the Cardinals. Like, that's Catholicism falling apart from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Vatican has got no locker room cohesion.
And also, Louisville's pizza is more authentically Italian than...
That's correct.
Rome. Easier to throw, too. You just go... Whoop, 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 whoop.
That's correct.
That was me, Frisbee, throwing a pizza.
Where is Papa... Hold on, I'm going to check. I'm going to check Papa John's Instagram right quick.
Oh, yeah, you should probably... Oh, you got to know where he's at right now. He's going to be outside your front door before you know it.
You got to check his TikTok, too. That's very important.
What a fucking wild...
Is that a joke?
That's not a joke.
What a fucking wild bio this is. Founder of Papa John's Pizza, fitness enthusiast, proud father and grandfather. All right.
You should, by the way, if you haven't, you should follow Cam Newton on TikTok. It's very entertaining. He had an entire monologue this week about how he has an average size penis.
That's underselling what actually happens in this monologue.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. I think the phrase
he's really, really good on TV.
The phrase "I ain't got no hammer" was mentioned. Because if I did, I'd be standing here with my pants off. I ain't lacking for confidence. It's like, God, Cam.
Stop imitating Cam Newton.
He's so good. He's so fucking good. That's it. Do we miss anything else?
No, Big Papa.
No? Okay. A few.
Well, Arizona's up by 6.
Arizona scored again.
Arizona scored again. It is 20-14. Oregon State in this one got track meet fast, real fast. Oregon State 42, Cal 32 with 14.
When's the last
time
Cal has 32 points? Holy shit!
But Oregon State is driving in this.
Yeah,
closest.
I forgot about Cal's win over North Texas. Don't take me serious.
And again, like Georgia Tech,
it's rough. It's good. It's going to be rough, but that's okay. Mario Cristobal is recruiting right now.
I mean, Robbie Calland has pointed the following out. To lose outright in regulation, they had to give up 74 yards to Haynes King in 26 seconds with no timeouts. Haynes King had 151 passing yards in this game, which, as Robbie points out, means half of his passing yards for the game came in the last 26 seconds when all they needed was a stop.
All I hear is clutch.
I fucking love science.
Riddick!
This is why we're not athletes or champions. Because, you know, you hear it and you go, LOL, bad passing. You know what Haynes King thought? I was due.
Miami, fuck this up so bad.
I got about 100. I'm the one who decides when to spend them.
That's right. That's it. What? Yeah, look, I got all these tokens. It's time to do some spending.
I really didn't think on a night when Notre Dame just got completely pushed around for a lot of the game by Louisville, that the ACC game we would be talking about that would stick in my brain the most would be Miami-Georgia Tech. But that's the Miami difference. That's why it's all about the U.
Yeah, they hate us because they ain't us. They can't stop talking about us. Mm-hmm. Rent-free.
Rent-free.
Rent-free in your head.
Rent-free, and I'm pissing in it.
Your little gator brain can't stop thinking about the Canes and the things we do.
Like, bro, we just kind of beat Vanderbilt. We're just taking one day at a time.
This is the coach. This is the coach that you fought so hard and were so mean to your other coach to get, and he can't even call a fucking kneel down.
Yeah, but bro, the recruiting class for next year, the recruiting class is incredible.
Man, just wait until the next coach.
They're
bring
the Mets. In. No, Arkansas is the Angels, and Miami is the New York Mets.
Yeah. Because the Mets do this thing where they actually believe in it. Yep. Like, nobody has ever believed in the Angels.
No. Nope.
But every now and then, Mets fans are like, you know.
You know what?
Be our year.
Look at how much money we're spending. How could it not work?
I think this is the year we have enough money to stop being the Mets. God damn it.
You cannot buy your way out of being the Mets.
No, it's not.
And we're going to recruit our way out of being modern Miami football. You'll see.
Nope.
I'm going to get 1,000 stars. Then you'll see.
It's the best. It's like, no. Listen, the chef is going to get it right, okay? We're going to go get Wagyu beef. No. Wagyu's not going to do. You need Kobe beef. Okay, listen.
No. It's a third kind of beef you've never heard of before.
Yeah, these cows are raised in caves. Super luxury.
Alex
caves.
Rodriguez owns these bear caves where we farm meat.
Farm the bears.
No, it's definitely cow meat, bro.
Yeah. And then what?
Ignore
do we
all the dead bears. It's definitely cow meat.
What the fuck are you doing to those Miami
Don't
bears?
What did he make out of them? Hamburgers again. We got hamburgers again.
All right. Now we take this meat. We make it into a hot dog. Then we throw it unwrapped as hard as we can.
Bro, be cool. Be cool. I got a whole yard full of dead fucking bears, bro. What do? I said be cool.
Fuck. All right, we got to recruit more bears. We got to move forward.
What eats bears? We got to recruit that. Dragons?
Yeah, I got a friend with a bunch of Presa Canarios in Hialeah. He's got like 20 of them in his backyard. We just throw the bears in there, okay? Listen, we could pay him like $200. No, actually, we might even pay him. They're hungry. I know he doesn't feed them.
Good morning, Miami. A mystery as dozens of bear corpses found in the Everglades.
There's like 15 gloriously happy Presa Canarios.
I love that
in like,
this
oh.
news, this newscast has time for like 30 seconds on that because there's some other shit happening.
But next in Miami recruiting.
More importantly, the Canes are back.
I mean, congrats to Georgia Tech and all too.
This is great. I'm gonna listen on the air. I'm gonna text Michael Ryan Reeves right now.
Do it.
I'm gonna be like
the refs right now. Do it.
Oh no, I'm gonna be like, I'm sure you guys have it all under control over there. That's what I'm gonna do.
No, text him and say, hey, is the game over?
You don't see the vision, bro. You don't, okay? Eventually, if Listen, it's like any asset. If I have all the bear carcasses, I control the flow of bear carcass.
You control the market.
That's right. The bear carcass market is mine. I could charge whatever I want. $10,000, $25,000. It's just like crypto, except it's dead bears.
Are we too good at business?
It's possible. I just texted him and asked if the game was over. Let's see if I get a response.
Should I text him right now too, or would that be too obvious?
I think that might.
Hey, buddy, I turned it off with a couple minutes to go, but you guys are looking good.
Yeah, I thought you had it in hand. All you had to do was kneel.
Canes don't kneel.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, the ibis can't. It can't bend that way.
Bird knees kneel backwards.
Ibis literally does like a half kneel at all times.
But like,
shit!
Bird knees kneel the other way.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Is it indecisive?
It's a bird? Fuck.
What season of that was Love Island when they were making fun of the one dude who said a dolphin wasn't a fish?
I don't know, but he came from the Miami of England. That's all I know.
Essex, yeah.
I don't kneel, bro. I'm like a fucking flamingo.
Are there Mets fans in England? God, what a terrifying existence that must be.
God, the most cynical human being on earth.
That's really perfect.
If you're a Mets fan in England, reach out to us. We don't want to talk. I just want to know you exist.
Also, if you're a Mets fan in England, why do you ever think about sports?
Also, if you're a Mets fan in England, you're up way too early. It's not even church time yet.
Oh, boy.
Like, both those teams were really good in, like, 1959.
Sure.
And that's it, right? Sure. Yeah. Roughly.
Yeah, 86, too. It was in 86.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not England, though, but yeah.
Yeah, not England, no. Whew, okay. What do we think of Miami? Shit. What do we think of shit? Miami.
No, I think we're good.
So, speaking of Miami.
Thank you!
A few things to say.
It was good. I think we've had a good
on your heart.
I think we had a good butt week overall.
Bring it on down. Lay it at the cross.
Oh, yeah. All right. If you have made it this far, by the way, thanks to everybody who did. Uncle Beerus, we're tooling. Iceman After Dark, Caboose SSG, Master Gator. Yeah, Miami Stacking Class.
Don't worry. If you're still here, check your Coinbase account. Dead Bear on its way to you, bro. We're going straight to the fucking Bear Moon.
Coinbase.
Yeah. That's all we do. You exchange three rabid Price of Canario coin for four bear coin for six slurp juices. We'll get you into the party tonight.
Some of y'all still aren't getting it. You can exchange six slurp bears for one.
You know what's great about this is knowing that all the cryptocurrencies that we have invented during the run of this show, and they are myriad, are now worth exactly as much as the crypto coins that everybody paid for.
Here's the thing. You could invest in cryptocurrency, or you could be a Miami booster. And in both cases, you've just thrown your money away.
In both cases, you're going to lose to computer nerds.
Bye.